the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation in the 14th verse. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine to the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine to the earth, cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. I want to try to expound a little bit of what I've read here, and there's a lot of controversy on this, a lot of controversy. And I would like to have had the time to elaborate, to brought it out the way that I understand it, and would like to have had the right atmosphere. Having to exhort you like I do about so many little principal things, I don't have time to give you any meat. The Bible said, therefore, leaving the foundation of repentance, let us go on unto perfection. But I can't get you away from repentance. You do the little old childish things over and over that you have to just continually repent over or be reproved over, to where I can't take you on and into any perfection. And some of you that are moving on a little bit, you're getting an intellectual understanding of it, and you're not getting anything spiritual. All it's doing is just puffing you up. You're getting more knowledge, and it makes you more confident than what you already was. You thought a lot of yourself in that kind of condition and thought you was in good shape. And now that you get a little bit of revelational knowledge, that makes you think you're three times what you was, and you're three times harder to get to even get salvation in your heart. Some of you just getting a big mind up here and no salvation at all. No spirit, no God, no nothing. Solomon said, with knowledge get a little bit of understanding. And you don't even have enough understanding to know that you got to live right, and you got to get away from your old self-will to be able to do something for God and to be have salvation. Some of you are not even doing that. Some of you are in worse shape. I say this again this morning. Some of you are in worse shape now since you got to know a little more than you ever was. And some people are twofold more the child of hell than they was to start with after they learned something about the Bible. Because they have an old spirit of resistance and contrariness, whereas they won't do what the preacher tells them, and they won't melt down that old evil, contrary, devilish front of theirs and get into the stream of God. They won't do that. And because of that, when they do learn a little something, then it really makes them feel like, well, bless God, I know what I know, and I know what you know, and I still feel the same way about it. See, you never did get born again. You just never did get born again. There's some of you that need the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You've been going to church for years and years and still don't have the Holy Ghost. I got a number of people in here that don't have the Holy Ghost, and yet you've been going to church all these years. You say, well, don't you believe I'm saved, Brother Pike? I believe that you are a believer. And I believe that you come to church. And I believe that you have good intentions. But I believe that without His Spirit, you're none of His. That's what I believe. I believe that you need to get the Holy Ghost. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't resent me. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let you resent me. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be puffed up by knowledge up here in your mind like you are. If you had the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let you do that. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't cause me problems and cause division, because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let you do that. If the people had the Holy Ghost, they would come to church like they need to come to church, and not when they took a notion to come to church, because the Holy Ghost would cause them to do that. If you had the Holy Ghost, you would give to God before you ever paid a bill, before you ever made any plans for yourself at all, you'd give to God because the Holy Ghost would see that you'd done it. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said, seek ye first. That's the Holy Ghost. He said, seek ye first. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning. I probably won't even get into my subject. I had a feeling I wouldn't. But I'm going to say some things this morning that might make you perk your ears up a little. The Holy Ghost is what you need. There are so many people, men and women alike, there are so many people that are trying to get the revelation of God, trying to get to heaven by saying that I'm going to follow the Spirit and whatever the Spirit tells me, I'm going to do it. And that's good. I'm glad you got that kind of mind. And I'm going to know what the Spirit wants me to do, and I'm going to follow the Spirit. A lot of people doing that. But bless God, I ain't following no man. I ain't leaning on no man. And I ain't listening to no man. I'll have you to know that. But I'm going to follow the Spirit. I'm going to show you something. The Bible said, blind leaders of the blind, they all fall in the ditch. What is the ditch? The whore. The Bible says she's a great ditch. Who is that whore? It's your carnal mind that come from the garden. Every one of you fall into the ditch when you reject leadership. We strain in a gnat, we swallow a camel. We say that we're going to follow the Spirit. And the first thing the Spirit tells you to do is to submit yourself one to another as the membership of the body. And then tells you to submit yourself to the ministry as they that watch over your soul that must give an account to God. It tells you not to grieve the minister, for it's unprofitable for you, because he beareth not the sword in vain. He's God's minister set there to execute judgment upon him that do evil, but for good to them that do right. The first thing that the Holy Ghost tells you is that I set in the body overseers. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, said take the oversight over the flock of God. Not just over your wife and children, but over the flock. You're God's flock. He tells me to take the oversight over you. The church that God purchased with his blood. Somebody will say, oh, bless God, I don't need your oversight. Well, I wasn't talking about you. The devil's got the oversight over you. No need me bothering him. I'm talking about the children of God. He said, the church that I purchased with my blood. That's who I'm talking to. Now, somebody said, I can look after myself. Well, that's good. Save me the problem. To take the oversight over the church, over which God, that which God has purchased with his own blood. Is that right? Set for you, Brother Pike, you to do it. Somebody said, but it didn't say Brother Pike. It didn't say Brother you either, did it? It said that we were to do it. That was Brother Pike too. You say, how do you know that? Because he said, what I say to one, I say to all. Somebody said, well, then that makes me be able to take the oversight, and you take the oversight, and we take the oversight. That would be good if all of us would take the oversight. That would be good. But not the oversight the way you're taking it. He said to feed the church, to feed the church. Not a bunch of garbage in your carnal mind, but to feed the church the Word of God. Somebody said, but I'm feeding the church. The Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Brother, when you cause anybody at any time, even your own wife and children, to go contrary to the minister, to the Word of God, you are scattered abroad and you are not with God. You are not with God. I don't care what you think about it. Your opinions, your thoughts, you are not with God. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. That means that we are one unit. We are one body. We are gathering together as a unit. And if we don't gather together with our thoughts, our attitudes, our deeds, our motives, our intents, then we are scattered abroad. When God said that there was to be overseers in the body, taking the oversight, God putting overseers in the body. When the Lord said, do that, Do you think he knew what he was talking about? Do you think he made a mistake? Do you believe that God knew what he was doing when he said that he was placing overseers in the body? And that you are to be under subjection to the overseers as those that have to give an account to God for you? That God will hold him responsible? God isn't going to hold a hireling responsible, but the shepherd that he set over the sheep, if one of them sheep are missing, he's going to hold the shepherd responsible. Brother Bob, he's not here this morning, I don't see him. But Bob is over the cattle over here. That man isn't going to hold Brother Johnny responsible because Johnny isn't over the cattle. But he's going to hold Bob responsible. Now, Johnny could go there and take the oversight, but the man still wouldn't hold him responsible because he's made no agreement with Johnny. Yeah, I'd be glad you take the oversight, all of you. But he made an agreement with me. And he's made an agreement with every shepherd he ever set up. And in the day of the judgment, he'll hold him responsible. Somebody said, well, I feel like you'll hold me responsible. He will for your soul and them that you scatter. Or tear them that are torn. He'll burn you for it. But we have an agreement with God that he who is the chief shepherd, when he appears, this shepherd has to give an account to the chief shepherd in the day of his appearing. And all of his flock shall come together. For he said, I've got sheep that's not of this flock. All of them will come together. All the shepherds will come together. But on that day, it won't be a bunch of shepherds that one speaks this and another speaks that and another's taught their congregation this. It won't be that at all. It might be or will be one shepherd that's taught them part of it, another shepherd that taught them another part of it, and God brings them all together as one unit that they might know all of it. God will do that. But every bit of it will fit together and dovetail together, every bit of it. In the day of the judgment, there won't be any that don't fit. There won't be any difference of ideas, difference of opinions, difference on this. You say, but Brother Pike, we differ one with another. I know we do. I know we do. I said the other day that Brother Branham and I don't see everything eye to eye. I know that we differ one with another. But brother, in the day of the judgment, what Brother Pike don't see and what Brother Branham don't see, Jesus does see. And regardless to what Brother Pike says about it or Brother Branham says about it, it's what God said about it. And if I'm right, then Brother Branham's going to be wrong. If Brother Branham's right, Brother Pike's going to be wrong. And if God's right and both of us are not on the Bible, both of us are going to be wrong. So see, the difference of opinions does not tear up God's kingdom or put up another little flock somewhere and say, well, this is right and that's wrong. There's only one way that's right, and all of them are going to come to that one thing. They're going to see eye to eye whether Brother Pike's wrong or Brother Branham's wrong. That's immaterial with God. They're still going to see eye to eye, and that's the Bible. That's the Word of God, the doctrine of Christ. If we scatter, if we tear people away from the Word, if we disassemble the body, if we cause a division, the Bible said, woe unto them that cause division among them. Mark them that cause division. If somebody causes you to be divided from your brethren, the Bible said, woe to that man. God will get him. It might take a while, but God will tear his hide up. One day God will literally, as the world said, tear him slap out of the frame. Woe to that woman that keeps running around with her dresses up above her knees when the preacher tells her not to and come to church and tries to do it anyway. Woe to that woman. God will tear her up. Someday they'll pick her up out of the wreck, their mess and wreckage and the blood oozing out of her nose or something happened to her. God means for you to do what the preacher tells you to do. He's not playing. Somebody said, you don't have to talk to me like that, but I'm doing it anyway. So, well, I don't have to hear it. Well, we got doors on each side of the building to make it convenient. God intends for you to do what the ministry tells you to do. I've never yet understood where that people ever got it in their minds that God sent the ministry to make a request for them to do right. I don't know how they ever got into such a thing as that anyway. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, "With wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory." Now he said, well, who was he talking to? He was talking to the people he was looking at, just like I'm looking at you. If he was here this morning, he'd preach the same message. That was the Spirit of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus said, "You're a generation of vipers," that was the same Spirit that Peter had. The same Spirit that I've got. The same Spirit. Not a bit of difference in it. Peter commanded them. The Bible said he told them, he commanded them. He never asked them to do it or said, "Do you think that's the advisable thing? Or we'll go have a council over and if we come up with it, well, maybe some of you'd like to do it." He commanded them to repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name to keep from putting them in the flames of hell. Somebody would say Peter didn't have the right to do it. He did do it. He said, "Ananias and Sapphira, that's the end of you. In the flames of hell you go." Somebody said, "God don't give the minister that right." Moses said, "If I'm God's man, let this earth open up and let it swallow him up." Swallowed him up by the bushels. Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and devour." Somebody said, "Is that what you want to do?" No man of God wants to do that. The man of God wants to see you saved. He couldn't have the nature of Jesus if he didn't. He doesn't want to see you hurt. Not even one of your little ones hurt. He has no such feelings and desires. He wants to help you. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you prosper. Like John said, above all things, prosper and be in health. How else could he be a man of God? But brother, don't ever think he don't have the power to do it. Somebody said, "Well, bless God, I fear them, but I'm not afraid of you." Well, I'll tell you what, if God ain't got nobody in this day, he's in bad shape. He needs somebody in this day worse than he ever needed them before. You say, "Well, I don't believe it's you." Well, if it's not me, it's somebody. I said it's somebody. Somebody said, "Well, I believe it was Brother Branham." Brother Branham's not alive. Brother Branham's dead. Brother Branham's gone. He's not using Brother Branham today. Somebody said, "Wait a minute." "No, wait a minute about it." I said, "He's not using Brother Branham today. He hasn't used Brother Branham in years. Hasn't used him in years. Brother Branham's dead and gone." Somebody said, "But he used his message." I didn't say he didn't use the message. The message never belonged to Brother Branham. It belonged to God. The Word's always been God. Now, there is somebody in the earth today, not one, but numbers of them, that God has put in the earth today to see that you live right. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm not all of them, but I'm one of them. And I feel the same way about it as Peter did, because the Spirit I've got in here makes me feel the same way. I can't do anything about it. I don't request that my wife obey me, because the Bible didn't tell me to request that she obey me. I tell her the Bible said for her to obey me in all things. Whether she wants to or not, that's immaterial. Whether she can do it with a good spirit or not, that's still immaterial. If she acts like a devil, she's still supposed to obey me, because the devil has to obey me too. I had rather she'd do it. It's like the Lord. Did you know that God doesn't request that a minister preach the gospel? How do you know that? He must preach the gospel. There ain't nothing else he can do. God doesn't set up his kingdom on request and whosoever wants to do it. He doesn't do that. Somebody say, "But the Bible said let whosoever will come." It does say let whosoever will. It said let whosoever will. That is the elect, let him come. Because who will come but the elect? Let whosoever will. He said, don't constrain them. I predestinated them. And whoever's elect, they'll come to me. Just let whosoever will. Is that right? Somebody said, but what if I decided I want to go? You don't have any power to decide that you want to go. Somebody said, but I've seen people come to the altar that didn't live right later. I know they didn't. Because the Bible said Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and didn't find no place of it. He came to the altar. He cried, asked God to save him. But he didn't come. Somebody said, but when he said, let whosoever will, Esau came too. Esau never came. Esau never came. The coming that God is speaking of is no man can come to me except the Spirit draw him. The coming that God is speaking of is that person that's elect being drawn to the Spirit. Because you come to church, you didn't come. Because you cried at the altar or prayed by your bedside, you didn't come. When he said, let whosoever will, that's let whosoever is elect come. Because they will, the others won't. Can you prove that to be wrong? Everybody that believes there'll be anybody outside the elect saved, let me see your hand. Then I must be preaching the truth. Let whosoever will come, the elect, let them come on. They will. Are you following me? It's a straight, narrow way. God doesn't tell the ministry that they can do a thing. Paul said, I must preach the gospel. He said, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. I'm going to be in need. But he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For he said, a part of it's committed unto me. Is that right? Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, because God's going to get me. Somebody said, well, I'm a preacher. I go when I get ready. I stay when I don't want to preach, and I do like I want to. You're not a preacher. I ain't never been able to do like I wanted to. Never in my life, even before I come into the ministry, I couldn't do like I wanted to. Something tore me. Something ripped me apart. I run into problems. I had wrecks. I had troubles. Even before Paul ever went into the ministry, he had nothing but problems and heartaches and troubles. The Bible teaches that he was killing out the saints, putting them in jail. God struck him down. Turned him around. Why? Brother, when I come into the ministry, God struck me down. He struck me down. I wasn't headed for the ministry. I was trying to make some money. I was trying to build me a house. I was trying to get a little wealth in the world. But God struck me down and turned me around. I came face to face with the fact that either I was going to preach the gospel or I wasn't going to live in this world. That I was going to right then and there die and go to hell. And of course, you see how much choice you got in the matter. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God does it. Well, it don't change a thing. Just because you don't believe God don't does it, it don't change a thing. The Bible still says that he does it. Your opinions don't mean nothing. Because you're, as the Negro says, you're sot in your ways, that don't mean nothing. It don't mean a thing. You can be sot in your ways all you want to, but God's word isn't going to be changed for you or nobody else. Nobody else. It's going to be just exactly like it says it. God didn't ask me to preach the gospel. He told me what I had to do. And that's what I've had to do. I've had to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I've got off a few times and tried to break off and get on a job. My wife liked to die. My children like to die. I don't believe in this thing of sitting around saying, well, God said, if you go to work on a job, I'm going to kill you. He ain't never told me that. He let me work. I work numbers of times. I still work. I still help. God ain't told nobody no mess like that. But I'll tell you this. You can't leave off the gospel and go to work on a job and forget about the ministry. God will kill you. He don't put up with no foolishness. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You might not believe it, but you're bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. It took the blood of the Lamb to buy you. And you are not your own. I want you to see that. I said you are not your own. God didn't buy you so you could figure out how to get you a new car, a new home, and a nice Easter flock. A frock, whatever it's called. God didn't do that. God didn't save you so you could build your great reputation. For the Bible said he sought himself to make no reputation. So that somebody would think you was a or just so in the world. God never did that. God's not interested in that kind of thing. It's foolishness to God. God made you and bought you for His very own. And you're bought with a price and you belong to Him. You're God's. And you are commanded to give your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is only a reasonable service. You understand that? God expects you to give your body as a living sacrifice, every thought in subjection to Him. Every deed. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if I gave God my every thought, what would I do with my husband? And some husbands, they ain't got enough Bible knowledge to know that God wrote the Bible for their convenience. Why, if you think on God, the very thing you'll do is obey your husband, love your husband, be right there. It's wrote for His benefit. God so wrote the Word to where any sober, sensible, understanding mind will know that it's to their benefit to serve God. Just like a woman, well, if he keeps his mind on God all the time, where am I at? On his mind all the time. Because that's God's Word. That's what God is. God made you for Him to love. And tells him not to deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. To love her is Christ's love of the church. And Christ's mind on the church all the time. It's wrote for your benefit. It's wrote for the benefit of the children. It's a wonderful plan. There's never been a plan like the plan of God. Never before has there been ever anything like God. Your little old brain work up here. Your little old figment of imagination up here. Your ideas and concept about life ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. Like a bunch of dirty rags, ain't nothing. But He's got a plan. He's God. What He thinks is right, what He knows is right. All you can think of is how you can make money, get you something new and buy you something, make it comfortable for you. Make it look good for daddy and mama. Look good for aunt and uncle. Look good for the neighbors. They'll say, uh-huh, there's some people that get in bondage to their daddies and mothers. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Their daddies and mothers got so much constraint on them, they think that they got to do everything so it'll look good for their daddy and the mother. Daddy and mother said, you see how successful I've been, and if you'll do this, it'll work out like this. Isn't that right? Somebody say, you do it this way now, child, and it'll be all right. Sure, and both of you'll go to hell together. Just do it the way they tell you. They've been very successful, but know nothing about God. Got a good neighbor? The neighbors say, look at me. See what I've done. Now, boy, you see what folks think about me. Yes, sir. They think you're a big fool and they can get everything they can out of you and keep you in a prestige, a state of prestige and foolishness in the world till they can sap you, and when they got you, then let you go down the drain. Foolish people. Foolish people. Somebody say, look what I am. What are you? Now, see, what I'm saying is that people get in bondage. Somebody that can out-talk them. Take a salesman, let him come along and he can out-talk you. You'll say, no, I don't need a sewing machine. I don't need a sewing machine. When your husband comes in, he'll say, I bought a sewing machine. All the time you told him you didn't need it. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I don't know of any cases like that. I know of dozens of cases like that. As a matter of fact, I have been the man at times that sold some of them. I saw it in the state of Nebraska. Some of you have heard me tell it. I never knew that it happened. They said a man would put his foot in the door until he sold you on his product. I thought, well, that's comic book stuff. But I was there when the man tried to sell the other man. He wouldn't have it. He pushed the door and pushed him out the door, and he stuck his foot in the door until he finished his sales talk. He couldn't get it to. There's people that can out-talk you, and they can impress your mind to where you think there's something great, you know. I mean something way up yonder. And they ain't even high enough off the floor to be used for your footstool. You got more sense, more understanding, more God about you, more sense of direction than they will ever have. They're just carnally intelligent from the devil. Somebody say, but I'm talking about religious folks, Brother Pike. I'm talking about religious folks too. Somebody said, I'm talking about them spiritual people. I'm talking about them too. There's people that's smart enough that they've got some of you, my congregation right here, in bondage. And you're sitting out there in bondage right now. You're out there. And some of you listening to my voice on the tapes in the same condition. You're in bondage too. By devils and demons and everything else. People over in Africa. Some of them hear these tapes. If they're in bondage. They're in bondage to devilish witch doctors. And everything else. Beads and superstitions. Black cats and everything else. Here in America. Got so many people. Superstitious. If a black cat runs out in front of you. Even some of them are supposed to have God. That's why I don't believe in that. And they're nervous all the time. Can't get it off their mind. So many multiplied things. Paganistic. Somebody said, well, I believe it because my mama taught me. Well, I believe it this because my father taught it to me. That's what he taught me. And I believe it. If I had to depend on black cats, all the superstitious ideas that you got of making sure that I got along in the world, I'd be in bad shape. I have spiritual cats and all kinds across my path. And some of them black as night. There's going to have to be a change in your heart. You're going to have to quit letting people out talk to you. You're going to have to grow up and be a man or a woman on your own. You're going to have to come to the Word of God and listen to the Word of God and realize that your faith, that is your believing, is molding you into some kind of a creature. And that creature is not the image of God unless it's the seed of God. Unless it's the nature of God, it won't produce the image of God. And to have the nature, you've got to have the seed. If I plant the seed of God in your heart, then a nature will come. And that nature will make your image into the glorified form of the Son of God. Otherwise, you'll be in that old mind of the intelligence of the beast. I might say, well, that's all right. I'll have a nice car to ride in. I'll tell you what, when you think of riding in a nice car for 20 years, if you live that long, by the time you get old enough to afford one, you might have 20, 25 years left. Half of that's being decrepit and having pains and ailments and everything else. Dodging the law and wrecks and problems and troubles, and if you can get any gasoline to put it in the tires, keep on it. If you call that living, you say, well, I've got life. And you trade eternity for 20 or 25 years of what you call living, I can't help you anyway. Anybody that's in that kind of condition, I can't help you anyway. Anybody that'd be willing to trade eternity for a few miserable, wretched hours in this world to have $10 in the bank, $1,000 in the bank, I can't help you. You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. I don't believe, I'm honest from my heart, I don't believe any man can put money in the bank and let people die and go to hell. I don't believe that. I don't believe he can be a Christian and do that. If he can do it, the thing I'd like to ask is this, why does God say you rich men howl for the misery that's coming on you? Why does God tell them that? Why does he tell them that they'll throw their money to the bats? Why does he tell them that their riches, their silver, is moth-eaten, their garments, and it's cankered? Why does he tell them it'll damn their soul in the end? You can't do it. There ain't no way you can do it. You can't do it. That's why God got on to Judas. He had the bag. But he had the devil too. That's why that Elijah upbraided Gehazi. When he said, Gehazi, you got your mind on the silver and the gold and the money and the pretty garments. Gehazi said, well, I thought we could just mix it all together. We need a new suit anyway. I mean, that was the attitude, you know. No, Elijah said, we're living by faith. So then he said, because you've taken it, He said, there's something that's called leprosy, said it goes along with it. But Gehazi hadn't bargained for that. He didn't intend to get that. See, you can have it, but there's something that goes along with it. And that goes along with it is called sin. And sin will corrupt your minds, corrupt your spirits, and damn your soul to hell. That goes along with it. You can have it. All the goodies, you can have it. You can have your way. You can pout. You can be self-willed. You can resent. You can have reservation of heart. You can be smart and figure it out. You can do all those things. But when you get through with all of it, you're the one that outsmarted yourself. That's all you did. You outsmarted yourself and damned your soul to hell while the little old foolish person over there didn't know nothing. Just said, well, I'll trust in God. And went on under the oversight of the ministry and God led him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This might not set right. But I'm going to tell you something. Either you are under your own supervisional power of your own intelligence, your own reasoning, or else you are under the intelligence of God and under the intelligence of the ministry. If you're figuring it out, then the ministry might as well to leave you alone because he can't help you. If God has set a shepherd there and the sheep just do what the shepherd says, they're all right. But if you're going to figure it out, then you're your own shepherd. Somebody said, well, I feel like I am anyway. Everybody does. I said, that means that your feeling is mutual. I never met a person in my life that didn't feel like he was his own shepherd. Somebody said, well, do you say that God made man sovereign? Is he supposed to do what he thinks he ought to do? No. No. Somebody say, but you mean to tell me that God put a brain in my head, put a mind in my heart, and I'm not supposed to do what I think I ought to do? No. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Get rid of it. Stay away from it. Why should I let you convince me that I should follow you when God told you not to follow you? I'd sure not be a fool, wouldn't I? When God told you not to follow your own thinking, and then I let you cause me to follow your thinking, I'd sure enough be a fool, wouldn't I? Because you can't even follow your own thinking. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but just trust in the Word, trust in the Lord. Somebody said, well, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you can do. How am I going to know what's right? Take the Bible. When the preacher preaches it, go get the Bible. See if he told you the Word. If he told you the Word, then follow it. Don't reason it out and say, well, I'm not sure that's what it means, because it means just exactly what it says. It's not too hard for anybody to understand. The Bible teaches it's a simple thing, a very simple thing. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you said great is the mystery of godliness. I didn't say godliness, I said the gospel. Judah, one of the writers, said, I'm afraid lest Satan has turned your mind away from the simplicity of the gospel of how you should live and be a Christian is simple, plain. Everybody can understand it that's got any eyes of understanding, any ears of understanding. But now when it comes to the mysteries of God, that's a different thing. But I'm just talking about the basic principles of salvation and living right. I'm not talking about great mysteries. You say, but I love them mysteries, Brother Pike. The devil does too. The devil's been trying ever since the world begun to get them mysteries. You know why? Because the man that's got them mysteries will rule the entire world. That's why Antichrist is going to be as smart as he is, able to do what he's doing. Because when the revelation opens up, he's going to grab it. And when he grabs it, he's going to turn into an intellectual thing. I don't mean that he'll get the understanding that we got of the translation. But he'll get enough to know what's going on to where he can turn it into a resistance and tear down the kingdom of God. Somebody say, well, I don't believe that. Well, why come we got some antichrists around here doing it? Amen. I said, why have we got some down here around here that's doing it? Turned into knowledge and turned down, scattered, turned up everything that I'm trying to do. Why have we got some doing it if they won't do that? How do you understand what I'm saying? Talking down to earth this morning. Real simple. The overseers of the church, how are you going to follow the Spirit of God and not do what the Spirit of God told you to do? You say, I'm following the Spirit, Brother Pye. But the Spirit said for you to be under the tutoring of the overseers until the time appointed of the Father. Somebody said, well, I didn't come to that time, Brother Pike. What time? The time he's talking about is the change of the body. When the body has been changed, you ain't come to it. The Bible said we wait for the redemption of our body. That's the time appointed of the Father. So then you are under the tutors. Now that if you're under the tutors, if you're following the Spirit said that God ordained overseers. The very Spirit that you say that you're following is the very Spirit that ordained the ministry and the oversight. It's the one that put the overseers in the body. Now, if the overseers are in the body, then the Bible tells me that they're supposed to have the oversight over you. Now, how can they have the oversight over you? Somebody said, well, I submit myself to them. You mean because you come to church, you're submitting yourself to the overseers? You mean because you come up here on Saturday around the brethren, you're submitting yourself to the overseers? You mean because a man, a woman lives with a man, she's submitting herself unto him? You don't believe nothing like that, do you? You don't believe just because your little boy lives in your house, he submitted himself unto you? You don't believe that. You couldn't possibly believe that. If that's true, where are some of them this morning, including mine, if they submit unto us? Where are they? Just being in the church, that doesn't do it, does it? Coming to church, it doesn't put you under oversight. But the Bible said that God is a Spirit, and He's a Word Spirit. And to have God, you've got to have His Spirit. That's the Word. And for God to have you, He's got to have your Spirit. Paul said, the Spirit of holiness, which I serve with my Spirit. That is, I give my Spirit. What is your Spirit? Your mind. I give my mind to it. Paul said, my mind is given to God. Is that right? I submit my spirit. That's what a woman's supposed to do. She's supposed to submit her spirit, which is her mind, to her husband, not lean to her own understanding. You say, well, don't you think she's got enough sense to know when she wants a drink of water? That's what she's given her senses for, is to get her a drink of water, to eat her piece of bread. The water that her husband determined where it should come from, and the bread he determined where it should come from. All she does is eat and drink, do what he tells her. Somebody said, well, you talk to me like she's a robot. She couldn't be a robot unless he's a robot, because she's one with him. If he's a robot, then she's a robot. If he's not a robot, then she's not a robot. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, to do what you're talking about, you'd have to be dead. Now that's where we're getting to. That's the part we've been trying to come around to right there. Somebody said, but bless God, I want you to know I ain't dead. I know it. I'm glad you want me to know, because I didn't found it out anyway. Well, what do you think I ought to do? I think you ought to do what the Bible tells you to do. You say, what did the Bible tell me to do? Reckon yourself to be dead. Somebody said, well, I reckon myself to be dead. Well, you couldn't reckon yourself to be dead unless you was dead. How could a person reckon himself to be dead unless they're dead, unless they was insane? Somebody say, I'm dead, and he's walking around alive. He couldn't be that unless he'd be insane. The Bible said you are dead by the body of Christ. You're dead. There then, the woman is supposed to be dead to the husband. Is that right? He is supposed to have control over her. Somebody said, yeah, I've had people to do me this way. Goody, goody, they say. My husband just do like he wants to. And I have to do what he says. Yeah. You just don't know some of the expressions they use around me. Yeah. That'd be nice, they'd say. It would be nice. It'd be God's way. I say, you mean to tell me I just don't do nothing? And whatever he does, well, that's what we do. Have you understand what I'm saying? Got a few. Bible said few there be that find it. Got a few. Somebody said, well, why can't I find it? The Bible said, seek. You've never been seeking. Somebody said, well, I come and listen at you. That don't mean you're searching and seeking. It means you come to hear what I say despite my liberties. If you know what I say, you know how to dodge when you get ready to say what you want to say. You know how to get around me. You know how to work your gimmicks. But they'll blow up your face. God knows what you're doing. So then the woman. I got this a little bit further to go and we're going to close. It's getting warmer, I believe, in here. Maybe it's because I'm moving around. I got some of you shifting about too. You'll probably warm up. Take the woman, for instance. Is she supposed to be just some kind of dummy? No, she's busy bringing her children into the world. She's busy stitching and sewing and making things for her children. She's busy watching after her children. She's busy looking after the furniture, looking after the house, looking after everything that her husband has given her. Because he's put her over everything that he's got. All of his labor is under the control of the woman. God has committed to my trust everything that he ever had. Said, I've given you all things. All things are yours. Everything. Just watch after it, son. Take care of it. Be wise. Let your substance be wise in your sight. Your wives is your substance. Be wise over your wife. Your children is your substance. Be wise. Don't let the devil kill them. Don't let him turn them into a bunch of prostitutes, whoremongers, robbers, thieves, a bunch of television fiends, a bunch of prestige fiends. Don't give them out here to the garbage man to set them up in some office to make a secretary out of them. Let the garbage man collect the garbage somewhere else. Or take what you got to throw out. If a church has got somebody that ain't going to live right, ain't going to work right, then let the garbage man come get them, make them a secretary, make them a banker, make them whatever he wants to. That's what he's supposed to do. Somebody said, who's the garbage man? The devil. What's the garbage that God don't use? Old piece of broken furniture won't fit right. He throws it out the door. The garbage man comes and gets it. What does he do? He puts it wherever he wants it. It's his. He might sell it to somebody for a dime. But people that belong to God, don't make your children a bunch of fiends and put them out there in the world running after prestige, and then when their soul sinks down into the flames of hell, they look back at you and say, Mom and Daddy, what did you do to me? But you know, you can go around and you can say, my son is such and such. Did you know that? What is your son? And they say, my son's a holiness preacher. Somebody say, a holiness preacher? Not hmm. Hallelujah. I wish every one of mine was holiness preachers. I'd rather for my sons to be a holiness preacher, God witness whether it be true or not. I'd rather them be a holiness preacher than to be the president of the United States or the king of the world. There ain't nothing as great as a holiness preacher. God ain't never put nothing on the earth as great as a holiness preacher. Nothing. Somebody said, well, you say that because you believe you're a holiness preacher. It makes it convenient. I have to admit that. I want to get something over to you. If the Holy Spirit, if he has ordained an overseer, or if he has ordained overseers, in the plural, how can you possibly follow the Spirit and not follow an overseer? Somebody said, well, I'm going to take what he says. But see, you still straining a net, swallowing a camel. Somebody said, that fleshly part I ain't messing with. Cursed is the man that leadeth on flesh. Smart. The devil's crafty. Cunning. What you here for, Brother Pike, to tear his little playhouse all to pieces and let you see if you don't want to willfully be blind. If you willfully want to be blind, ain't nobody can help you anyway. But to show you the cunning craftiness of the devil. Don't you mess with that flesh. You listening? No, don't mess with it. Why? Did he happen to tell you that that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? And that it's all right to follow bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Did he ever tell you that? That you're not cursed when you lean upon that arm of flesh? That that's the only arm of flesh that's ever going to stand? Is that right? That you're his body, members in particular? That bone of bone and flesh is your mother. That is bone of your father. And that she's put there to look after you until your father gets back. Did he ever tell you that? That she's got the oversight and you're supposed to be with the rest of the young'uns? The brethren? That if you disfellowship them, it proves you ain't in the God family. If you don't love them, and you can't love them unless you want to be with them and do something for them. You can't love them. You might have a make-believe and drop around once in a new moon. But there's something about them people that love the brethren. They just love to get with the brethren. The wife said, yes, that's what I don't like. Now, does this prove something? If a man can take you away from your wife, don't that prove he's got something your wife hasn't got? Somebody say amen or oh me. Who ever heard of a man following a man when there's a woman to follow? I'm talking about natural people. Why, she can lead a dozen men off when you can't get one of them. But if a man can get men to leave the women folk, then there's something about that man. And you know what it is? It's God. God is stronger than the powers of the flesh. Stronger than the presence and the desires of the flesh. And that God draws you and satisfies you more than the woman does. And if you ain't got that, you didn't make it. You didn't make it. When you got that, you love them brethren. You want to be with them. And if you hadn't got it, you just didn't make it. So, that's the only proof of eternal life. You love the brethren. You pass from death unto life. If that woman can domineer you and hold you from fellowship in the brethren, you didn't make it. Because when you got what I got, no woman in the world can keep you from fellowship with the brethren. There ain't an army of them can keep you away from them. I don't care what she looks like. She may dazzle like a dewdrop on a bright sunny morning. You'd walk off and leave her dazzling to go fellowship in brethren. There's something about it. All right, now. In the oversight, you have to bear with me. I'm going to quit in just a few minutes. But in the oversight, say, I'm going to get rid of that man part. That's the thing, brethren, that you want to stay away from. You know, we have a little group scattered around the nation. They say, now, old Brother Branham, they used to say this about Brother Branham. I don't know where y'all probably didn't think he ever had the trouble I have. But Paul had the same problem. I was surprised when I read real close to get down, just like I was living there with Paul, just to see what was going on. I found out he had identically the same problems I got. Brother Branham, they used to say, now you listen to what Brother Branham says, you know, as far as that power of God working in his life, but you don't pay attention to his doctrine. They told the man. So now, they said, you know why they did that? Because anybody the world said with one eye and half sense, no, that was the power of God, and they couldn't talk that away. So they didn't know what to do but say, just go ahead and believe in that. But when it came to the Word of God, they could talk that away. So they said, don't you believe in his doctrine? In other words, they're saying, don't you become William Branham's followers, because if you do, my pocketbook's going to get thin. Don't you do that. It's hard for you to go to the meetings and see miracles. But don't let it go no further. We got the little groups, you know, saying, now, don't you mess with that man now. You leave that man alone. Don't freeze up on me again. You leave that man alone, they said. Don't mess with him. Say, but don't you believe what he's telling you? Well, sure, he's bound to be right. I believe it. But it's just a few little things. Now, I wonder what them few little things is. Them few little things is them little things that you got laying over there that you're using for an ace in the hole, as the world says, so you can trip that brother up or that sister up. That's them few little things that you don't agree with. The few little things that you don't agree with is that you lose your power, hope, and control over the person that you're domineering, whether it's your husband or otherwise. That's a few little things. Now, the overseers, this is a good subject, ain't it? The overseers, praise God for the overseers. How many appreciate the overseers? The overseers. Somebody say, well, you're just doing that because you feel like you're an overseer. Well, you do what you do because you feel like you're a woman. You're talking on behalf of women because you're a woman. You talk on behalf of man because you're a man. I'm talking on behalf of God because I've got God. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. All right? The overseer. Somebody say, well, I ain't going to follow the man. That's the part I want to get around. I ain't going to follow the man. But the Bible said esteem the man, didn't it? How much should you esteem him? Somebody said, well, I'll go along with that. Go ahead and esteem him. It's all right. Just don't overdo it. Well, how much would you have to do to overdo it? Said esteem him worthy of double honor. Would that be overdoing it? Somebody said, wait a minute. You honor me, but if you go to giving him double honor, you won't listen to me. You'll listen to him. And I said, well, I'm a Christian just like you, a Christian. I'm a son of God just like you, a son of God. I'm supposed to have double honor too. It didn't say that, did it? It said, honor the brethren, honor the brotherhood, but give double honor to them that labor in the Lord. The labors are few. How many of you know the labors are few? The labors are few. Them that make a sacrifice, them that mean business, them that's God-minded, give double honor to them. Listen to what they got to say. Don't ever rebuke one of them. Don't you never come. I have you rebuking me all the time. You come up, your very spirit resents and rebukes me. God said, don't you never rebuke an elder and treat him as a father. All right, now, some of you wouldn't dare go to your daddy the way you come to me. Now, somebody said, but I'm not going to follow that overseer. But the Holy Ghost put him there, and the Holy Ghost told him to take the oversight over you. Is that right? Not over somebody else, but it said over you. For him to take the oversight over you, whoever you are. Now, if you don't want him to do it, then you're not in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, well, I want him to do it, but I just can't stand to bear it. No, because you are not born again. If you had the Holy Ghost, you could stand to bear it. You'd delight in him doing it because you'd believe that if you didn't do it, you're going to go to hell. You say, but I don't believe that. I know it because you're an unbeliever. You've never been born again. But if you was a believer, you'd believe what God's word said about it, not your reasoning, your own understanding, not what somebody told you, not some tradition of grandma and grandpa. The overseer, you strain at an ant, swallow a camel. Because when God said overseer, he was talking about a man. He wasn't talking about the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit ordained the overseer. He didn't say the Spirit was taking control of you. He said the Spirit told the overseer to take the oversight of you. The overseer is a man. How do you agree that the overseer is a man? He's a God man, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Somebody says, well, I could stand to be under the oversight of Jesus. Well, that's who you're under. That's him, the membership of that body. You say, but I'm a membership too, but he didn't magnify you to an overseer position. He did that other membership. Somebody said, well, God don't make any difference. Peter said, you see how God made a difference between us? I remember that. God said, I've anointed thee, above thy fellows. Why? With the oil of gladness, because you loved righteousness. You wanted to do my will. You was thinking about me. You didn't huffed up and puffed up and run after the world. You know what I want. I'll use you for an oversight. I made you the overseer, God said. They that receive you receive me. They don't receive you, I'll send them to hell because they don't receive me either. He that heareth him that I sent, heareth me. Him that don't hear him that I sent, don't hear me. So then, I say you're going to come under a man. I said you are going to come under a man. The one that's in the sanctuary that hears it, the one that's on a tape that hears it, you're going to come under the leadership and the oversight of human beings. Whether you want to or don't want to, you're going to come under the oversight of human beings. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't have to do it because I won't be part of it. If you don't do it, you'll be part of the devil's system and you'll still be under the oversight of that old intellectual system out in the world, which are men. You're going to be under men. You might as well be under a God man to begin with. Somebody said, well, I didn't pick my God man out. That's the one I want to follow. You don't pick out nobody. God picks him out. You don't have nothing to do with him. If you picked him out, that proves he's wrong to start with. You'd have never picked him out. You lean to your own understanding. If he'd been right, you'd have never picked him out. Because your understanding ain't going to pick the right one out. All right, now, he is a man. The overseer is a man. God said the overseer. Somebody said, I wish you'd let me go home. There's a door. There's a door. If you're in a hurry, open the door and leave. Don't make the rest of them miserable. Somebody said, but I feel like I'd be embarrassed. You'd be more embarrassed if you knew that I knew who you was. To sit there and play the hypocrite. Not be interested in what I'm saying. You know what it is? The evil can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. They get miserable. When you get right down to the avenue and the street they live on, they either get resentful, they get haughty, or they get miserable, or that old devil will show his head. That old serpent will start crawling around. So then the overseer is a man, or men in the plural. A fivefold ministry. God has overseers, and they are men, and you're a little bitty sheep that can't think for yourself. I don't care how smart you think you are. You can't think for yourself. God's got a shepherd to thank for you. Somebody said, but I'm not a sheep, I'm a ram. I know it because you always run into somebody. I can tell it. But you're still a sheep. A ram is still a sheep. He might think he knows a lot and goes around knocking the others around, but he's still a sheep, and he's supposed to listen to the shepherd. Now he starts knocking the sheep around too much, and the shepherd will tap him over the head with a staff. Put him back in his place. So if you're a ram, stay in your place. You can be a help. You can run the wolves off. If you'll start running into them instead of running into the shepherd. All right, now, see, there is an oversight. I'm going to close. There is an overseer. So you strain at a net and swallow a camel when you say you're not going to be under a man. Because God ordained a man to be an overseer and told him to be over you. Told him, the Holy Ghost, said, you take the oversight over that man. Now, he didn't go over there and say, would you like for Brother Pike to have the oversight over you, did he? No, because he knows you don't want him to have the oversight over you. He knows that you're in rebellion. What Brother Pike's got to do is win you to God and get you straightened out because you're one of the elect. And you're all warped up back there. And he's got to clean you out, work you over, shape you up for God. He knows you're going to rebel to start with. It ain't the sheep rebelling, it's the devil rebelling. But the devil's got sons of the devil posted everywhere to encourage you and to keep that old carnal mind from dying. And keep his turn of saying, now don't get too thick with that man. Don't you do it. No, don't you do it. You just stay thick with the devil and listen to him. Don't get thick with that man because he's a God man. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. If there was light, you'd come to the light. You don't mind your deeds being reproved if you're doing what's right. But if you've got that old carnal mind of darkness lurking back in there and shadows, you don't want to come to the light. You know that God's going to run them off. Is that right? All right. And trying to find a place to close you, and I really am going to close out. An overseer is a man. Is that right? An overseer is a man. He's a man. I hope that ain't going down in some of you. Somebody, it ain't going today. It ain't going to take. I know that you can spread seed all over the ground and some of it just ain't going to take. There's going to be some bare spots. And I got a lot of bare spots out here, but I got some of it that really took roots. And you know what will happen? After a while, that took roots will just swallow that other up. It'll swallow it up. That old hard, crusty stuff it won't give, them roots will undermine it and break it all to pieces. Just push it out of the way. If it can't get in from the top, it'll go in from the bottom. So then is a man. An overseer is a man. God sends a man. Somebody said, but he sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does nothing among you except through the man. The Bible doesn't say any place that faith cometh by the hearing of the Holy Ghost, does it? If anybody can show me where the Bible says that faith cometh by the hearing of the Holy Ghost, then I'll change my whole outlook. It said that faith cometh by the hearing of the word. God is a voice. Somebody said, but I believe God's voice, but the only voice God's got is man's oral expression. Otherwise, there is no voice. Even scientists say if a tree's fall, if there's no ear to record it, there's no sound. If the Holy Ghost is present, there's no voice to express it, then there's no Holy Ghost as far as the world's concerned because they don't receive him. They don't see him. They don't understand him. The Bible said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot see. So the only Holy Ghost you see is in me. Is that right? The Holy Ghost is in the body. And the Holy Ghost speaks by your mouth. He speaks by your mouth, which becomes a sound, a word. And faith cometh by the hearing of a man. Somebody said, but that's not Bible. But it is Bible. Where does it say faith comes by the hearing of a man? It said faith comes by hearing the word. That's a man. Somebody said, you can't prove it. But the Bible said the word was a man. He came forth and he was made a man. Is that right? He was made flesh, and I'm bone of that man and flesh of that man. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And we beheld the word made man. So then faith, your salvation, what you ever get, what you ever be, will come by the words of the fivefold ministry or the overseers, which is what God placed over you. It is God over you. It is not him that speaks, but God that speaks to you. This morning, it's God that's speaking to you. Now, I might say, but I don't think God acts like that. Well, Brother Tommy said the other night in the vision, he saw me act like me. He said, I act like him too. Yes, amen. Somebody said, well, I don't think he'd raise his voice like that. Well, he told me to lift up my voice like a trumpet. That's pretty loud, ain't it? You ever heard a trumpet? Amen. I said, well, I just don't think he'd take the attitude you took. He looked at him, he said, you hypocrite, why tempt thou me? Said, you're of your father, the devil, and his will you'll do. Sounded to me like he's pretty disturbed. Somebody said, who, I never thought he got like that. Oh, he got worse than that. He got so disturbed, he sat down outside the church and he got him some leather or whatever it was, and he began to plant it together, premeditated, you know, as the judge would say today. And he premeditated what he was going to do, and he got it fixed just right, and he done what he premeditated. That's right. He got in there and he got so upset. I've heard him throwing songbooks. He didn't throw songbooks. He flipped over the money tables. He took that whip and he popped it and told them to get out of their cattle and all. I don't know. He might have popped it on them a time or two. You can't never tell. It didn't say he did. Didn't say he didn't. But it's one thing about it. Ever how he'd done it, they had faith and confidence in what he said because they got out of there. He said, you folks run this place long enough. It's my father's house. I'm taking over, he said. You can get out. And they got out. That's what sons of God need to do. Get them a backbone like a saw log and get out there and pop the whip of God. Tell them it's God's business and they're going to straighten the thing out. It don't matter if it's the banker. It don't matter if it's the man down on the corner, the judge, the sheriff. I talked to all of them. That don't make no difference. All of them just alike. I've seen them break down, cry. I've seen them try to get to be friends. I've seen them try to do everything. It don't make no difference. The brass. The president, it don't make no difference who he is. If you tell him right, he'll listen. I'd just love to have a conversation with the president, wouldn't you? I tell you what, we'd have a different policy when I got through. That's right. Either there's one thing about it. Either he'd blackball me or we'd sure have a change in the White House. Well, anyway, I think I got my point over, whether you're paying attention to it or not. Pretty sharp, ain't it? You say, what do you mean sharp? Paul said the point's pretty sharp. Paul's hard to kick against pricks. He used to have what they call the pricks, you know. And the cattle didn't get right. When them cattle would kick up the hill, they'd hold that sharp prick out there with them prong thing. When he'd kick and hit that a time or two, he got in line. The Lord said, Paul, you're kicking against the pricks. It's got a pretty sharp point, ain't it? You folks that's kicking back against it, you don't know how sharp it is. Just wait a little later. You're going to see how sharp it really is. All right, now. How do you agree then we need an overseer? All right, somebody said, I think it's time to elect in one. All thing about you can't do that. He don't give you the power to do that. He elects them in. That really makes it rough on the congregation, don't it? These people that's used to putting them in one year and shifting them out the next year, you know, if they don't go along with their parties, it really makes them rough when God sends an overseer along. You can't shift him in and out too easy. All right, now, so then the woman is not the boss that keeps kicking one husband out and getting an adultery marrying another. Is that right? She said, I don't like the way it's preached. I think I'll marry me another. And so she got a half a dozen of them. But when the real husband comes along, you don't run him off too easy. He turns the wife around and straightens her out. Is that right? Because he don't run. He just pops the whip and says, that's the way it's got to be. She don't have no say in the matter. Now, if she wants to be friends with him and work with him, he'll work with her. But otherwise, he's going to do it the way that he feels to do it. All right. So then, in saying the last few words here, it's hard to say the last few. I've been trying to do it for a long time. Over 20 years. Ain't got to it yet. But just to get over a few last words here, as best I can, this message. You're going to have to get away from that thing of saying that you're not going to follow a man and tell somebody else, don't follow a man, because you're not gathering with me and you're scattering abroad. You tell him, yes, that's our pastor, and brother, you better follow him, and if I don't follow him, me and you both going to die and go to hell. Because that's right. Because that's right. I said, because that's right. Somebody said, yes, you had your way about it. I have got my way. Whatever I bind will be bound. Whatever I loose will be loose. If I forgive, your sins will be forgiven. If I don't forgive, it won't be forgiven. I might say, Brother Pike, what in the world are you saying? I'm saying exactly what he said. He said, say what I said. I'm saying what he said. Somebody said, so say what the tape said. I'm saying what the Bible says. That's what the tape said. I say what the tape said, and I say what the Bible said, because it's what the tape said. Preach the word. You love the Lord? Somebody said, but now wait a minute. If you go contrary to what Brother Branham said, you're not saying what the tape said. I'm doing exactly. If I go contrary to Brother Branham, I'm still saying what the tape said. Because the tape said, say what the word said. If a word called Brother Branham wrong, he's wrong. Still doing what the prophet said do. So I'm not out of source. You're the ones out of source. All right. Let every man be a liar and God be true. What did God say? You need some overseers. Overseer is a man. So then, my brother, don't ever think that you're going to take the spirit and leave off the overseer. You got to get the overseer to get the spirit. All right. I'm going to say one more last thing here and let that be it. Somebody said, I don't see that. I can go to God and get the Holy Ghost whether I ever have an overseer or not. You absolutely cannot. Somebody said, I don't need no preacher. I can still go get saved. You cannot. The Bible said, how can you hear lest there be a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. For faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing cometh by the word, and the word cometh by the preacher. And you're saved by faith. If there's no preacher, there's no word. If there's no word, there's no faith. If there's no faith, there's no Jesus to you. So then there is a preacher. There's got to be a preacher. I'd like for anybody, anywhere, at any time, that can ever show me, tell to me, prove to me, bring out a history or any other place where any person ever got saved without faith in the word anywhere. It never has or never will be done. There ain't never been a case of it. Even old Abraham back there, the Bible said the scripture appeared unto him and taught with him. Even Enoch, he had to have faith in something. What was it? It was the word. Somebody said, but there wasn't nobody to preach to him ever since Adam. Always been somebody to preach to him. God gave Adam a message and gave it right on down to Abel, and Abel gave it right on down till Abraham heard it. Is that right? The Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork. So then you're going to have the overseers. You can pick it to pieces. Now this will give you something to pick on. Take an old buzzard. He has to have something to pick on. God's give you something to pick on now for a long time. You want to stand with me? Somebody said, well, the reason I don't like to come to this church, you low-rate me. You can't low-rate a buzzard. He's a buzzard by nature. That's his rate. God said his rate. I didn't say it. Somebody said, well, you low-rate me. I didn't say nothing about you. I said something about the buzzards. Anybody put themselves in a class with the buzzards must be in bad shape, unless they're a buzzard. A pig don't mind fellowshipping a pig. That's why some people rather be out in the world with the swines, as the Bible calls them. They got more association. They think like they do. They reason with them. They enjoy their conversations. They find fellowship, the money, whatever's going on. That's their life. But the ones that love God, that are sons of God, they find fellowship with the brethren. You take an old sow, the Bible calls her. You watch her. That old sow go over to another house, and that old sow over there, and both of the houses look like a hog pen. because they don't ever clean it up. And they'll sit there and bubble their nose in the slop, you know. Bubble their nose. That don't sound good, does it? But that's the way the Bible tells it. They'll sit there and they'll bubble their nose in the slop. And this one will say, yogi, 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 you know. And this other one will bubble their nose in the slop. And both of them's got a long, sloppy mess of gossip when they get through. You ever seen an old hog? He'll take him a bite and he'll grunt and root the oven and he'll drag it on off you to see it draining out of his mouth. You know? Everywhere he walks, it's mushy and moshy. You say, nobody would never be like that. I saw a vision of a man in Mississippi, and in his very office, it was so deep with mush and mess and scum and dung, until when he walked, he just about got swallowed up in it. You say, people wouldn't be like that. Your own knowledge is dung. And if you're always telling somebody something you know, instead of the Bible, you've got a whole sloppy mess where you and them both bubbles in it and walks in it. But the mind of God is right. God called it old carnal mind of the beast dung. Your own reasoning. Your own understanding. Everybody feels better. Let me see hand. Somebody said, I just can't hardly stomach it. If Brother Fike just didn't preach it that way, I'd like it a whole lot better. He just makes it too plain. Like Brother Terrell said one time, he said, you call it vomit, said I call it puke, said I'm from Alabama. I was raised up in the country. You might call it mire, but I call it slop. That's what Daddy used to say it was, slop. You love the Lord? All right. I believe it is mire because the Bible calls it mire. Go back to the wallowing in the mire. But the mire is a constitution. Slop. Just kinging away from it. Mix a little dirt with it. All right, let's sing a song together. I don't mean to keep you late, but I had some things this morning, and I figured on Sunday morning's the best time to do it because you're not tired, you're not weary, and you'll feel better anyway when I let you go. You'll have the rest of the day to sit around and do whatever you want to, and you'll feel better because you stayed longer in the house of God. Now, I don't mean to weary and keep you long, but on Sunday morning seemed to be the only time that I can really get your minds enough to where I can help you understand what I'm saying. I want to help you, folks. I want to help you, and I will help you if you'll let me help you. But I can't if you don't. A doctor can't help you if you won't do what he tells you. A doctor can give you a prescription. You might throw it out the door as soon as you leave his office. It'll never do you no good. But if you'll take it, it'll help you. It'll do you good. Examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. You say, faith, faith of the Word. See if your mind's in the Word. See if you're obeying the Word. See if you're talking the Word. See if you do what the Word says. See if your every thought is the Word. See if you're meditating in the Word day and night. See if there's other feelings, other thoughts that come to your mind. Bring every thought in subjection to the Word, mind. See if there's any other feelings, any other thoughts, any other plans, any other motives, any other determinations, intents of your heart that might be unlike the Word. See if there is. Whether it be toward God or fellow man. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. You know, when I told you about your inheritance, what you was and who you was and what you was going to get, you shouted and hollered. When I told you what you was going to have to do to get it, you didn't shout and holler either one. How bad do you want it? When we've been there 10,000 years,
bright shining as the sun.